The following program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
You're not going to see manifestation come out of stress. You're not going to see it come out of caring care. You're not going to see manifestation come out of worry. It's entering into the rest first, then the manifestation. I'm asking you to start using your imagination, because whatever you can imagine to do, nothing shall be restrained from you. You cannot stop a person who's at rest. You can't do it. Don't you let that word go. That word is your title deed of what you're planning on seeing. That word is the title deed of what you're trying to see manifested in your life. That's all you got, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let that word go, and the devil's trying to get you to let it go. I'm a world
changer. This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and I believe what I'm about to share with you is prophetic today. So, Hebrews 4, and I want to take time today to talk about the practical side of rest. You know, it's one thing for us to talk about how important it is for us to rest in the Lord. It's another thing for you to actually know how to enter into it. So we're going to look at a practical step-by-step. What do I need to do to enter into the rest once I'm stressed, once I'm maybe in a panic mode, once I am challenged with carrying the care of something? What do I need to do to actually enter into that rest? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 2 through 3, he says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into the rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world." Then in verse 11, he says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Now, here's what we've understood thus far. If you are wanting to see the manifestations of the finished works of Jesus, you must first of all enter into that place of rest. Rest first, manifestation second. So if there are questions in your mind, where's the manifestation? When is this thing going to take place? You've got to go back and examine your life. Rest first, then the manifestation. You're not going to see manifestation come out of stress. You're not going to see it come out of caring care. You're not going to see manifestation come out of worry. It's entering into the rest first, then the manifestation. All right, now notice something here. In verse 2, he says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them." Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm preaching the word to you today, and I am interested in that word having profit in your life. I'm not interested in coming out here, tapping out. We don't want to come out and preach the word, but it brings no profit to your life. But if you're not seeing or having profit in your life, there's a reason why. If we're preaching the word of God, but you're not seeing manifestation, you don't see profit in your life as a result of hearing the word of God preached, because when you hear the word of God preached, there should be profit in your life. But he tells us why. The word did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, you can't hear the word of God and not believe it. You know, I'm preaching a word, but you don't believe it. I'm telling you about the rest, but you don't believe it. It won't profit you if you don't believe it. Somebody said to me, "Well, I don't believe in healing, and that's why you're sick." Because it's not supposed to profit you because you don't believe it. "Well, I don't believe in deliverance, and that's why you're still in bondage." Because it's not supposed to profit you because you don't believe it. "Well, I don't believe in prosperity." Well, you won't have any. Don't worry about it. You'll never have any because you don't believe it. The word won't profit the unbeliever.
The word won't profit the Christian who doesn't believe it. Or you can be a Christian and you can believe A, B, C, but you don't believe D. Well, you'll get A, B, C because you believe it. You'll get profit from A, B, C, but you'll never see profit from D because you don't believe it. And so the word being preached has to be mixed with faith. But you know what we've come to discover? The greatest level of faith is when you're resting. When you can rest in what Jesus has already finished, that's the greatest level of faith. And when you can hear the word, believe it, and get peace from what you heard. When you can hear the word, believe it, and trust in what you heard. When you can hear the word, believe it, and no longer be stressed and full of care because of what you heard, then you have just positioned yourself for the manifestation of the word that you believe, that you receive, that you find rest in, that the care and the stress is removed because of that word. So we want to have profit in our life as a result of the word of God. Amen? Now notice a couple of things here. In verse 3, he says, "For we which have believed do enter into the rest." Notice the only people that enter into the rest are those who believe. The highest kind of faith, ladies and gentlemen, is rest. But the evidence of belief is rest. Somebody says, "Well, I believe." Well, it's easy for you to religiously articulate, "I believe." But the evidence that proves whether you really believe it or not is when we look at your life, you're not stressed, you're not full of care, you're not full of worry, you are full of confidence, you are full of trust, you rely on the finished works of Jesus Christ. We can tell when you believe something. We can tell when your belief is authentic, or we can tell if your belief is just a religious cliche. Because when you believe it, somebody that believes the word finds rest in it. Somebody that believes the word will trust in it, which means you won't see stress. You won't see care. Now, you may see it coming up and down every now and then, but they know what to do to get rid of it. They recognize they can't stay in the place of stress and care and expect to receive manifestation. So now, all of a sudden, when you say believe, it's a whole new thing here. If I believe, you can now examine how authentic that is. If I believe it, then where is the rest? If I believe it, then the stress shouldn't be there. The care shouldn't be there because I've entered into the rest. Now, that sounds simple. And yet we all know that even though we believe something, we are challenged sometime with panic. Panic is groundless fear. We're challenged with the wondering of what's going to happen here or what's going to happen there. We're challenged with our peace moving around. Even though this is the perfect picture for manifestation, what I want to talk to you about this morning is how to meet those challenges when you believe God's word, but you're having a challenge staying in the place of rest. You believe that the finished works of Jesus Christ, you believe that by the blood you're healed, you're delivered, you're set free. You believe all of that. You believe you've already prospered because of what Jesus did. But the challenge is, with all the things that I'm hearing and all the things that are around me and all the people that are in my ears and all the things that are not working out the way that I thought they should work out, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. At least that man was honest. He said, "I believe you, but help my unbelief. Help me, Lord, to get to this place of rest." And I want to practically lay that out for you this morning so you can see how important it is to operate in this place of rest. And then in verse 11, look what he says. He says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." So there is a labor. There is a work to be done to enter into that rest. You start off believing what the word says, but then there's a work to be done. Now, remember, there are two types of works in the Bible. There's the work of the law, which it's you trying to work to get God to do what he's already done. We're free from that. We don't need to be working to try to get healed. Jesus already healed us. We don't need to be working to try to get delivered. Jesus has already delivered us. We don't need to work to prosper. Jesus has already done that. And then there's the second work, and that's the work of faith. Now, to work or to labor to rest is going to require the work of faith. To labor to rest is going to require you doing certain things that involve your faith to move into that place of rest. Labor to rest. Don't labor to try to finish what Jesus has already finished. Don't labor to try to get done what Jesus has already made sure it's done. Labor to rest. You don't have to labor to get healed because you're already healed. You have to labor to rest in the healing that's already been given. And at that place of rest, that's where healing will manifest. At that place of rest, that's where deliverance will manifest. At that place of rest, that's where prosperity will manifest. It's at the place of rest. And so now, think about it. What has the devil been doing? He's been trying to do everything to keep you out of rest. Just when you got confidence and just when you're settled in, leaning and believing on the things of God and on the Word of God, then something crazy happens to try to shake you up and move you out of that place of manifestation. Because the devil can't afford for you to get too many manifestations. Somebody might start paying attention to it. So how does one practically enter into that rest? Number one, I'll move through this quickly. Number one, let's use an illustration. Let's just say you go to the doctor or, you know, let's just use that. You go to the doctor and the doctor gives you the results of your yearly checkup. And the doctor says, we've located some tumors. We tested it out. You have an aggressive form of cancer. All right, now, to get that report, that'll shake you a little bit. You know, yeah, well, I'm a Christian. No, I don't care what you are. It'll shake you a little bit. It'll shake you a little bit. I just want you to be real. It'll shake you a little bit, and you're like, okay, all right, you know, and it'll try to move your emotions. It'll try to rob you of your peace. It'll try to do all these other things. And you know that in order for this thing not to win, you got to get in that place of rest. And right now, you're just not in that place of rest. You know where you got to get to, but right now, you're not in that place of rest because that report, it moved you emotionally. It shook you emotionally. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or a report that, you know, you're broke and they're going to come and get your house at the end of the week. You believe God. You're a Christian. You love God. You know God loves you, but you're shaken and your emotions been moved and you got hit. So what's the first thing I do after I get that report? Number one, locate the scripture that is the solution for what you're dealing with. You see, as Christian people, this is something we've not heard. What we want to do is start hollering at God and talking to God. No, you need something to go to battle with. You need some equipment. You need some tools that you can use to fight this thing with. The first thing you do when your peace is shaken, the first thing you do when panic shows up, is you go to the Word and get a scripture that covers the circumstance and situation that you're dealing with. Somebody says, well, you know, you really expect for us to do that? Yeah, I really expect for you to do that if you want to win. If you want to win, I really expect for you to do that. Now, you may already have a scripture in your heart, but there's somewhere, somehow, you got to get the scripture because this Word that you go get, and this day and time is easy. You don't have to get a concordance. All you got to do is get your cell phone and Google. Give me scriptures on this. And it'll give you a whole bunch of them. Amen? And you get that Word on that thing that you're dealing with because that's going to be your anchor. That's going to be your foundation. Glory be to God. Your attitude ought to be, all right, devil, don't let me find a scripture that covers my situation because I'm going to beat your brains out every day with this scripture. And you don't need 50 of them. One will do just fine. One will do just fine. Locate the scripture that fits your situation, that best fits your circumstance. Now, why do we want to locate that scripture, first of all? Because that scripture becomes your peace. Everybody say peace. Peace. Go to Isaiah 26 and verse 3 through 4. The scripture becomes your peace. That's the thing. You know, the enemy's going to come with the temptation to get you to worry about that report, to get you to carry the care of that report, to get you to be stressed out about that report. You got to have something to fight against the enemy showing up trying to get you to go there. And so that's why you get that scripture, because that scripture is going to be your peace. So peace is defined as security in the midst of turmoil, security in the midst of temptation and toil. Now notice what it says, verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? because he trusts in thee. See, if you say you trust God, then he says, I'll keep you in perfect peace if you get your mind stayed on me. How do I get my mind stayed on Jesus? By getting my mind on the word, getting that scripture, and that's what my mind is on. And so when you're going to hear it. The doctor says this, and you'll hear it. You know, you have an aggressive form of this. And then you turn around and say, yeah, but the Bible says that with his stripes I were healed. And if I were healed, I am healed. If I am healed, I is healed. So what happens is when that thought comes, see, you don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with words. Do this for me right quick. I want you to count from 1 to 10 to yourself. Don't say it out loud. To yourself. Ready? Go. Now say your name out loud. Now what happened to that thought? It stopped, didn't it? Because your mind was distracted and it had to pay attention to what was coming out of your mouth. And that's the same thing that happens is when the doctor's report comes in your mind. You don't sit there and be quiet. You open your mouth and you confess the scripture you found in the word, and you'll pull that thought down and let it know, you will not get in my head. You are not going to dominate my thought life. Whatever you focus on the most, that's what you're going to have. If you focus on the doctor's report more than you focus on that word, or refuse to go and get that word, then that report's going to win. That scripture will keep you at rest. It'll keep you at peace. Now, why is this peace so important? Look at John 14, 27. Why is it so important to maintain my peace? If the devil is after anything in these last days, he's after your peace. He's after your peace. He'll use social media. He'll use your friends. He'll use relatives to try to steal your peace. Because if he can steal your peace, what happens? He keeps you out of that place of rest for you to receive your manifestation. But why is it so important to stay at peace? Well, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. And notice what kind of peace he leaves with you. My peace. Say Jesus' peace. Jesus' peace. He says, I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Now look what he said. He said, now this is up to you. You let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Notice it didn't say God's not going to let your heart be troubled. He says you're now you got the responsibility to let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so here we got to learn how to trouble our trouble, or the trouble going to trouble you. I said you got to learn how to trouble your trouble, or the trouble's going to trouble you. And so what happens is the reason why peace is so important is so that you won't allow fear and fright to come into your heart. If you let fear come into your heart, now let me show you the greatest fear here. You're believing you're going to get the manifestations of this word. You believe that it's finished. You believe in the finished works of Jesus Christ. You're going to enter into that rest. You're laboring to stay into that rest. So what the enemy does is, what I got to do is get you to be afraid that what the word promised won't come to pass. The number one fear of the devil is for you to fear that what he promised won't happen. For you to fear that by his stripes you're healed won't happen. For you to fear that God has supplied all of your needs according to his riches and glory won't happen. And if you walk in that kind of fear, fear tolerated equals faith contaminated. And just like God needs faith in order to bring things to pass in your life, Satan needs you to walk in fear in order to try to bring his words to pass in your life. And if you're walking around full of fear, lacking peace, afraid, panic. Panic is an interesting thing. Panic is groundless fear. In other words, ain't nothing even wrong. There's no indication why you should be afraid, and you're just walking around scared. Why? I don't know. I'm just scared. That's the worst thing you can do, because that means you open the inroad and a door for the enemy to come in to try to inflict resistance against the manifestation of what God's trying to give you in your life. And so we've got to fight against that. Let's go to the second area. This is the second practical side of our entering into that rest. Number two, let the word change your thinking. Don't allow your way of thinking to change the word. Let the word change your thinking. Don't allow the way that you thought about a thing to change the word. In other words, you've had some experience in the past. You've seen some things in the past.
And, you know, you got this doctor's report, and based on your experience, everybody you knew died of this thing. But the word says you're healed. And what happens is, don't allow your experience and your old way of thinking to try to change the word. I don't care how many people die from that. Not you. I said, not you. You've got to let the word change your thinking. You know how your telephone sends these updates? Okay, you know, what you got to do is, when the enemy comes in and tries to make you afraid of, you know, what you thought about a thing, that's the time for you to download an update. Say, yeah, update. I know they died, but update, I'm not, because with his stripes I were healed. And if I were healed, I is healed. According to this scripture, it's time to download an update. Amen. And the update is that the God of all flesh is on your side. Amen. And if the God of all flesh is on your side, tell me what is too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God who is on your side. Say it out loud. Nothing too hard for God. You remember Proverbs 23 verse 7 says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think. And so the enemy now is going to try to invade the way of thinking. So this is step three. Step three says this: meditate the answer found in the word. Joshua 1:8. Go there. Joshua 1:8. Step three is, once you get that scripture and you're allowing that scripture now to change the way you think, here's what you do with that scripture. Meditate that scripture. Meditate that answer that you found in the word of God. Meditate it. That word meditate means to roll over in your mind. It means to consider it more than the doctor's report. It means that you're going to spend time even confessing this word. Somebody asked me one time, how long should I meditate this word? The answer I gave them was, you meditate this word until you can see it through your imagination. You keep thinking about this word. You keep rolling this word over. You keep considering this word until when you close your eyes, you can see yourself walking in it. You can see yourself healed. Now, that's the power of meditating the word of God. The only time we say anything about meditation is when we talk about negative meditation. But I'm telling you, God is the one that gives you imagination. And so the Bible says in Genesis, I believe, chapter 11, verse 6, talking about the Tower of Babel, and it said that God had to come down to see this thing that they have built, this tower. He said, because whatever they can imagine to do, nothing will be restrained from them.